God lays out for us in Scripture our need for salvation in the law and the assurance that Jesus has saved us in the gospel.
Dr. Carl Fakencher talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's the way God communicates to us in every page of Scripture, and therefore it's vital that we have been given this gift of history, an understanding of law and gospel, make it a centerpiece in the way we speak law and gospel, the way we speak God's word to people today.
You can meet and hear Dr. Carl Fakencher making the case for law and gospel Friday, June 10th and Saturday, June 11th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Monday afternoon, it's time to do our series Top 3 Verses. That's where we go through with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. He picks out the top 3 verses, not all of the verses, but just the top 3 verses on any given subject. Today, the subject, baptism saves. We'll be in Mark 16, 1 Peter 3, and Ephesians 5. And if time permits, we'll toss in a couple bonus or honorable mention verses as well. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is a regular guest, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, host of a video series called Grappling with the Text, a production of Worldview Everlasting TV. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you.
Before we get into the verses, how did your mind change on this subject?
Yeah, that's great, because I used to think, back in the old evangelical days, that I was right along with the evangelicals about what baptism was. And namely, and I think it's said best and most clearly by the Baptist Faith and Message that they put together back in the year 2000, says baptism is the first act of obedience. In other words, a baptism is a work, and it has nothing to do with salvation or God's grace, forgiveness of sins, nothing like that. In fact, it has little to do with our justification as our works do with justification, because it is understood to be a work. And I could prove that baptism didn't have anything to do with salvation because I had all these verses that said you can't be saved by works, and it was just that simple. But I was challenged by someone. They pointed out to me that the verses that I was using to teach that baptism didn't save actually were not verses about baptism. Oh boy! So I went. I remember this. This is one of these very distinct memories of mine. I went and I had my my Strong's exhaustive concordance, and I looked up all the 212 instances of the word baptism in the Bible in the New Testament, and I read every single verse that had to do with baptism. Now, a lot of them were like John the Baptist or narrative kind of stuff, but any of them that talked about the theology of baptism did seem to have something to do with salvation. There's so many of these verses that put baptism there with God's grace and promise and the forgiveness of sins, that it is simply inescapable. Now, it wasn't at that point clear to me, I mean, how or what baptism was or how it saved, but just looking at the data, the New Testament texts, it is impossible to escape the idea that baptism has at least something to do with how God saves us.
So just the raw dump of data from a concordance on the subject of baptism was pretty convincing already to you that salvation had a connection.
Yeah, that's right. And this kind of investigation that I started to realize that the things that I was learning, like at the adult instruction class I was going through from the catechism, from the Lutheran pastor, were biblical things. And the things that I was being taught at the evangelical church were the traditions of men. Now, this was a huge shift because, one of the arguments that the evangelicals will use against us Lutherans is that we teach traditions of men and they teach the Scripture. But when you start to investigate and push it a little bit more, you start to see that the opposite is true. I mean, the Bible never, for example, talks about baby dedication, but it does talk about baptism. The Bible never talks about the decision for Christ, but it does talk about the Lord's Supper. And so this is when it seemed to me like scales were falling from my eyes, and I was starting to read the scriptures for the first time. I'd read these passages before, but they never were able to, in fact, say what they were saying. Now, as I look back on it now, we were looking at Jeremiah 23 yesterday in Bible class, and Jeremiah is talking about the false prophets and how they're thieves. They steal from the people the Lord's word because the Lord's word belongs to the people, and here the false prophets aren't giving it to them. And this is really the kind of very sad situation of most people in the evangelical church. The Lord wants his people to have the promise of baptism. And these preachers who say that baptism is a work that has nothing to do with salvation are stealing the comfort and promises from Jesus that he wants his people to have. They're just taking it for themselves and totally absconding it. They're not letting it get through. And that is an incredibly sad situation.
We're going to be looking at three verses, top three verses, and one from Mark 16, 1 Peter 3, and Ephesians 5. I suspect one of these, for you, had the effect of essentially sealing the deal on baptism, say.
Yeah, and that one was 1 Peter 3:21. So we can look at that one first, it's really, the evangelicals will say, and the Baptists and so forth will say, baptism does not save, while the Bible says baptism saves. This is the text. There is also an antitype which now saves us. So we'll talk about antitype and antitype in a bit, but here's the text. There's an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So this text, it's so clear. It says, this saves us, baptism. In the ESV, I think it even reads even clearer than this, than the New King James. It says, baptism now saves us. And when the Bible says something that is exactly the opposite of what your preacher is saying, then we really need to pay attention. We really need to wake up. And open our eyes and let the scriptures define the doctrine and not the preacher when he contradicts it.
And this is the same Peter that is at the very beginning of the book of Acts urging people to repent and be baptized. We're not talking about some guy who had no experience with this or just kind of exaggerating the point. You mentioned before type and anti-type. How can you walk us through that so that we understand it?
Yeah, well, the New Testament will often talk about this. It'll look back in the Old Testament and say, hey, you see those people or those offices or those things that were happening? Those were pointing in some way to something even greater, to a fulfillment. So we talk about the type in the Old Testament and the anti-type in the New. So, for example, we have the sacrifices in the Old Testament. Those are all types of the sacrifice of Jesus, who is the Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We have in some ways Moses, who is the great lawgiver, and he is the type of Christ in some way, although Jesus now comes as the opposite. The law came through Moses, and grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. Jesus himself will look back and say, hey, you remember how Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days? Well, I'll be in the belly of the earth for 3 days. Or Paul says in 1 Corinthians that we were baptized into Moses through the sea, and we ate from the same spiritual bread, that rock which was Christ, and so forth. So these are the New Testament writers looking back in the Old Testament, and they're seeing in the things that were happening there an indication of the promise that was to be fulfilled in Christ. Well, that's what Peter's doing here. He looks back and sees a type of baptism. Now, interesting, it's not the flood that he sees, but rather the ark. So just like Noah and his family were saved through the ark, and they avoided the wrath of God in the flood, so now we in the New Testament are saved in baptism, rescued through that great gift of God, and we don't experience God's wrath, but rather we experience his grace and his mercy.
He's saying, in essence, and I'm trying to make this as clear as possible because people like to mix this one up. Peter's saying, just as eight persons in all were saved from God's wrath in the flood, in the ark, so also now you, baptism does the same thing for you. What does he say when he goes on from there? He says, not by washing dirt off the body, but by and I know this is a subject dear to your heart, a clean conscience.
Yeah, that's right. And so that, you know, it's not merely the water of baptism that's washing off, you know, it's not like taking a shower or taking a bath. This is a different sort of thing. It's not just the water, but it is the water and the word, and specifically the word of promise, which we're here considering, baptism saves, that forgives our sins, so that now our conscience is cleansed by baptism, and our conscience can stand holy before God, not because we know we've done everything right, but because our sin is forgiven. So that the gift of baptism is not a clean forehead or a clean body or a clean whatever. The gift of baptism is a clean conscience, and that is what saves us, this word of promise.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we will go on to the second of the top three verses on baptism saves on this Monday afternoon, May the 2nd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest, our series top three verses. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast or visit our website at www.holycrosslutheranalbany.org.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
The Faith Once for All Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Common and experienced firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to, you know, help them to get a sense of, A, you know, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our series Top Three Verses with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. We're dealing with the top three verses on baptism saves. Speaking of baptism, this comes from the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for May. It's a quote from Luther on baptism. Now, the first thing to be considered about baptism is the divine promise, which says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." By the way, that's one of the verses we're going to take up. This promise, says Luther, must be set far above all glitter of works, vows, religious orders, and whatever else man can introduce, for on it all our salvation depends. A great quote from Luther from the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for May, Being Lutheran. You can find out more about this book by going to our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page of the website. Or call Concordia Publishing House and order Being Lutheran. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for May, Being Lutheran. Brian, let's talk about the next verse. Which one would it be?
Let's do that Mark 16 one that you mentioned there, because when Luther breaks out baptism, he's going to ask four questions about it in the catechism. The first is, where is it instituted? And the second is, what benefits does it give? And he points, when he talks about all of these great benefits, I mean, it's great. I mean, what, some of the greatest Luther preaching is on the gifts of baptism, and you just, the picture that you get is every once in a while we take the kids to the pool, and they have in the kids' playground one of these things where it's like a big bucket, but it must be like 100 gallons or something, this huge bucket, and you see it filling up, and I'm over there watching, dry as can be, and you know when it gets to a certain point, it's just going to dump this huge thing of water on whatever kid is accidentally going under. And, you know, it'll be like a three-year-old, and they'll just be crushed, just demolished by this tidal wave. Well, this is really the picture of how Luther preaches about baptism, is that it's like all of the gifts of heaven are there, and in baptism, they're just dumped on you. So that he'll have these lists, and it's just gushing. So there's life and salvation and the forgiveness of sins and overcoming of sin and death and the devil and the gift of the Holy Spirit and adoption as a child of God and all the gifts of heaven and all the treasures of God and God himself, who gives himself, he calls you part of his family. He gives you new life. He clothes you in Christ. He washes away your sins. He rescues you from every evil. He gives you the promise of the resurrection. It's that every single gift of heaven is poured down on us in this gift of baptism. And the proof text that Luther will use is this great text at the end of Mark 16:16. So starting back in verse 15, Jesus says to the disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." And that text becomes now the promise of the great gift of baptism.
All right, so that is the connection here that Jesus himself makes between baptism and salvation. The next verse that I wanted you to look at is Ephesians 5. What do we find there?
Yeah. Now, this is a tricky one. I to pick the third verse on here, because probably we could do 10 or 20 verses about baptism. There's, in fact, and we made this point at the beginning, that basically every time the Bible talks about baptism, it talks about salvation. But this one, I think, is especially important when we're talking about baptism with those who believe that baptism is a work of man, a work that we do, and therefore it's disqualified from having anything to do with salvation because it's a work. Now, on the one hand, we should commend those people who deny that baptism saves on the ground that works can't save for their strong understanding of grace. But we have to say that you have a very strong understanding of grace, but a very, very bad understanding of baptism. And I think the way that we can get to that is ask the question, who baptizes? Who is the actor in baptism? And that's why I think this verse in Ephesians 5 is such a treasure. It's embedded in Paul's table of duties, so he's talking about how it is with wives and husbands. And this is where he's talking about how wives are subject to their husbands, husbands are loving their wives as Christ loved the church. And so he's making that analogy. And then in verse 25 and 26, he says this, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. It's an absolutely beautiful text.
So that one, you said that was a more difficult one. Why did you say that?
Well, probably it's more difficult because there's so many other texts that could be picked. I mean, in baptism you put on Christ, in baptism you're raised with Christ, arise and be baptized and have your sins washed away. So there's so many other beautiful texts about baptism and salvation. But this one, I think, has this wonderful point to make, that it's Jesus who cleanses the church. It's Jesus who cleanses us. It's Jesus who does the washing. So when we go to be baptized, it is not our doing, but it is the doing of Jesus. And the result is that we are holy and without blemish by the washing of water and the Word. That's nothing other than baptism itself. And so when we can start to understand that baptism is the work of Jesus, then we understand that baptism saves. Because basically everything that Jesus does for us in the church is to save us. That's his purpose. That's his goal. That is what he is after. So when Jesus comes to baptize us, he's coming to save us. He's coming to forgive us. He's coming to put his name on us and call us part of his family. And this text teaches that, I think, more beautifully than any other passage in the Scriptures.
I wanted to talk about a couple of the honorable mentions. And the other one that I was thinking of that you put me onto has to do with washing, too, and that's Titus 3.
Yeah, this is another catechism text. It's a longer one. This is the one that the kids have to work hardest to memorize. I'm going to read it, though. This is Titus 3, 4, and after that. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I mean, there's so much in this text, and it's wonderful and comforting in so many levels. But it's really quite great in that it connects the washing of regeneration, so the washing of rebirth, with the doctrine of justification, so that baptism is the sacrament of justification. It is the way that the Lord delivers the righteousness of Christ to us, that he puts his name on us, and he puts our name in the book of life.
One more honorable mention before we take our break, and that is Acts 22. What's there?
Yeah, there's all these, in some ways, I think the book of Acts is kind of a chronicle of baptism. We see it from the very beginning, they're baptizing, and all the way through, whenever someone becomes a Christian, whenever they hear the gospel, etc., they're being baptized, their whole family is being baptized. And we have that great verse in Acts 22, in verse 16, where the text says simply this, "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So that baptism is here called the washing away of sin. Can you imagine that? It's that we might be covered with filth. That's not what we're worried about. Our real problem is that we're sinners, and baptism comes like a flood and just washes those sins away.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. 10 more minutes with him on the other side of the break. We're doing our series Top 3 Verses. We've actually done the top three and gone on to the honorable mentions. When we come back on the subject of baptism saves, well, how are these being read? These verses that seem quite obvious, quite forceful, compelling even, when it comes to the subject of salvation, its connection to Christ's institution of baptism, Christ's action in baptism. How are they being read, if not as baptism saves? We'll answer that question on the other side of the break. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Stay tuned. Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $100 to Issues, Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship. Or you can make your $100 check payable to Issues, Etc. Write Scholarship in the memo line and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're doing top three verses with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller on the subject of baptism saves. Our guest, Pastor Wolfmiller, he also leads an annual catechism youth retreat. Brian, before we go on, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't think I've ever mentioned that around here on Issues, Etc. We've been doing this for 8 years now. We have pastors bring their kids age 10 to high school seniors out to Lutheran Valley Retreat over by Colorado Springs. And we got a couple sessions this summer, June 26th to 29th and June 29th to July 2nd. And if someone's interested in that, if any pastors are interested in bringing some kids along, or if there's some family listening, you want to let your pastor know, contact me, and I can get you the information. I was thinking about it because we just rotate through the catechism, and our topic this year is the sacraments. So we'll be talking, spending a day talking about baptism, spending a day talking about confession and absolution, and spending a day talking about the Lord's Supper. Should be great.
You can find out more about this summer's Catechism Youth Retreats led by Pastor Brian Wolfmiller under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. So we've been through, well, by my count, at least five. We only promised three, but we got through five top verses there on baptism saves. How are these being read? They seem so compelling in their force of, just at the very basic, connecting Christ's institution of baptism to His act of saving us. How are they being read, if not that way?
Well, there's a way that most evangelicals must see baptism as a work. And I think the reason is why is that there is a creeping Gnosticism that gets into the theology. So Gnosticism, at its most basic form, it's kind of a parasite ideology. It just kind of clings to whatever's around. So you get Christian Gnosticism, Jewish Gnosticism, Muslim Gnosticism. That's where the whirling dervishes come from. Pagan Gnosticism. It's all, you know. But what Gnosticism wants to do is make this distinction between the bad material things and the good spiritual things. And I think in this case with evangelicalism, the way it works out is that that the spiritual realm, the theater of my own heart, is the only place where God can work graciously. And if anything is happening outside of me, if it involves my body, if it involves me moving around, then by definition, it's a work. So baptism is external. It's outside of me. I'm moving around to get there, or being moved around to get up to the font and do it, so that it's almost defined definitionally as a work. Now, this is not how the Scriptures define a work, especially because the Scriptures say that baptism saves and works don't save, so that baptism can't be a work. But this is it's a philosophical way of reading these Scriptures, which almost before you even read the verse, must mean that that baptism can't save. You come to the text with the presupposition that baptism must not save, and now you're making the texts say what you want them to say. I remember when when this came really clear to me was I was listening to a sermon on Acts chapter 2. Believe, repent, and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And the guy who was preaching said that word for was the Greek word eis, and it meant because of. So I didn't know Greek at the time, so I went and I looked up the Greek, and I tracked it down, and I talked to some people who knew it, and they're like, well, look, this word, it's like one of the most common words in the whole New Testament, and it means into, for the purpose of. And to take and to stretch it to mean because of, to make it mean the opposite of that, is really linguistically impossible. Well, this same pastor in that sermon had a version of the Bible that had translated that way, be baptized because of the forgiveness of your sins. And so I went and I interlibrary loaned that particular version of the Bible, some super obscure translation of the Scripture. And in the beginning, I was reading it to figure out what in the world this thing was, and the author of the Bible of this version says, this is not a translation from the Greek, but rather it's a theological paraphrase for the evangelical. In other words, the preacher was using this not translation to support his bad translation of the Greek text to make it say the opposite of what the text says. The text says, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and it's just that simple. But you have to jump through all of these hoops to make the text say different things when you're unwilling to let baptism be the work of Jesus rather than being our own work.
What did you do with good old Peter? Baptism now saves you.
You know, I remember also this. I mean, for some reason, baptism is one of these threshold doctrines. And so looking at these texts, it's 25 years ago, but I really remember it pretty profoundly. And I remember after reading that text in 1 Peter 3, thinking to myself, how have I never seen this text before? I don't know how many times I'd read the text, but it almost like my eyes had glossed over it, like it wasn't even there. So I had not dealt with it. I had not wrestled with it. I had not done anything with it. I had basically ignored it. And then after I realized that I had been doing that, I went back to some of these major doctrines, you know, the doctrines on baptism, the texts on confession and absolution, the doctrines about the Lord's Supper. And I listened to the sermons from the Calvary Chapel where I was going there. It's verse by verse, you know, word upon word, precept upon precept. And I listened to the sermons on those texts, and the preachers would do the same thing. They would just simply skip over those texts that talked about the Lord's Supper, that talked about confession, absolution, and that talked about baptism. It's almost like, again, it's like scales over your eyes, because you can't admit the evidence of the Scripture into the courtroom of your own heart, because their testimony is so clear.
Folks, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be making the case for a biblical view of the end times at the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Attendance for the conference is limited to 400, and as of today's count, we have well less than 100 slots left for the conference, so you need to register now. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. It's the 4th Annual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 10th and Saturday, June 11th in Collinsville, Illinois. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and host of a video series called Grappling with the Text, a production of Worldview Everlasting TV. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
You got it.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation, talking with Dr. Ken Sherb about Luther's catechisms. We'll also discuss extraterrestrial intelligent life with Ken Samples, and we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Jesus raising Lazarus. You know, you might, in the end, having finished listening to this conversation, you might say, well, it sounds like you're saying baptism saves apart from Jesus. And if you go back and listen carefully, we did not say that. In fact, we said quite the opposite. We said that Jesus saves through baptism. In fact, if you look at those verses honestly, and we just dealt with five of them, but you can go to the book of Galatians and Romans and all over the place, wherever baptism is mentioned. Just do it. I dare you to. You will see that's precisely what those verses are saying. Jesus, the one who gave his life for us on the cross and made himself the substitute and the sacrifice for all men and the salvation of the world, saves precisely through this means that he himself gave us to use, baptism in his name, the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's what those verses say. I'm Tad Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.